welcome to another hour of our Ask the Experts weekend. And who am I kidding? This is not just another hour. This, what we have here, is a brand new hour. I'm joined today by the hard worker himself, Pete the Job Guy Langlois. And Pete offers a very valuable service to our community and other communities nearby. See, what Pete does is Pete has a bunch of jobs, and Pete has a bunch of people who are looking for jobs. And he combines the two, and he reaches out to employers and puts people with their dream jobs. So today and every Sunday morning at 8 a.m., you can tune in to get free career advice and insight on the latest employment trends from the staffing industry's leading authority, Pete the Job Guy Langlois. With over 30 years of experience in staffing, we invite you to join the discussion on workplace controversies with an honest and entertaining filter. And even though we had you on the Mark Kaye Show Friday morning, this is actually your first time on WOKV's airwaves. And let's get this show started. Pete, welcome.
Welcome to all you hard workers out there. Glad you could join us today. We've all heard the saying, work smarter, not harder, right? Of course you have. You know, that statement makes me cringe. Work smarter, not harder. And I'll tell you why. Let's break it down. Work smarter. There's nothing wrong with that. If there's a better way to do something that creates efficiencies, meaning you're able to do it better, faster, or cheaper, or accomplish the same tasks with less effort, then great, by all means, work smarter. It's the not harder part that really makes my head spin. If you can work harder and you don't, then shame on you. You have an obligation to yourself, to your family, and your employer to give it your level best every day. And if you create efficiencies by working smarter, then use the time you save to work harder and gain more efficiencies, to be more productive, to be more effective at whatever you do. But no matter what, you have to give it your all, every work minute of every work day. So let's change that broken saying up again. Right, work smarter, not harder. Let's throw that one away. It's better said, work smarter and work harder. Or best said, work smartest and work your hardest. All right, we have a very special show for you today with two great guests. Both of our guests are industry leaders in their respective fields, and they both have a wealth of knowledge and experience that they're kind enough to share with us today and help us on our career journeys. And that's what this show is all about. Whether you've been working, you've been in the workforce for 20 minutes or 20 years, whether you turn wrenches, you sell widgets, or you run a big company, we're going to share information with you each week that will help you land that coveted job or deal with a difficult coworker or plan out your career path and so much more. And if you're looking for a new job, stay tuned, because I'll tell you how you can be eligible to get a job offer live on the air with me, with a destination employer right here in town. Okay? And a destination employer is an employer that you want to end up at. People want to work there. And speaking of destination employers in town, Suddeth, a global logistics and relocation company here in Jax, has one of my favorite people retiring after 25 years of employment there. That is Beverly Rogers. And Beverly's been the director of organizational development. Beverly, I want you to know that your coworkers and I would like to wish you all the best in this next chapter in your life. And now, let's go to our Pete the Job Guy news reporter, Aaron Mills, with the weekly employment update. Aaron?
Thanks, Pete. The jobless rate in the U.S. fell to 3.9% in April, touching the lowest mark since December 2000. The rate has been stuck at 4.1% the previous 6 months. The economy looks different today than it did in the last days of the tech boom. In 2018, interest rates are lower, economic growth is more moderate, and the stock market, while performing well, hasn't nearly had the same run-up rate as it did in the 1990s. As for Jacksonville, the unemployment rate is continuing to fall. Since January, we were at 3.9%, and now, in April, we are at 3.2%. The top-performing industries in Jax right now are healthcare and information technology, with a growth in manufacturing. That's it from me, Pete. This is Aaron Mills with your economic update.
Thank you, Aaron. Our first guest today is Lori Day. Lori is Senior Vice President and Chief Customer Operations Officer at EverBank. She's also on the Diversity and Inclusion Council, and she serves as the executive sponsor for the Women's Employee Resource Group, Advance. Now, Lori, I know it's safe to say you've been a manager, director, vice president, a leader, and a hiring manager for many years. I won't say how many, but I know it's been a lot more than 5 years, is that correct?
More than five would be correct, more like decades.
Okay.
We'll leave it there.
All right, great. Well, and throughout your career, you've been pretty passionate about helping people. You've been a career coach, mentor, and very involved in the community, isn't that right?
Yes, I would. Thank you.
All right. Well, I think it's safe to say that. What I want to know now is, as a leader and a hiring manager, and I know you've interviewed, I don't even want to put a number to it, but I know there's a lot of zero. You've interviewed a lot of people. And what's important to you is not just hiring, it's retaining the top talent that you've hired. And I know that's safe to say that you've retained thousands of employees over your years. I want to focus on your interviewing techniques right now. Without getting into too many specifics, what kinds of questions do you ask in an interview? And what types of answers are you looking for that help you make your decisions?
So I think part of the interview process of questions, answers, is really around how am I able to help someone paint their story for me. It used to be back in the day where the standard questions are, tell me your strengths, tell me your weaknesses, what are the things you're most proud of? And those just don't help create the environment that gives me a forward look on how someone will be successful with my team. So instead, I ask questions about the job requirements and the competencies that accompany that. And I ask a candidate to paint a picture by telling me examples of times where they've had experiences in certain things. And when asked to share their examples with me, I'm really looking for them to show me who they are, what they've done, how they've interacted with other people, how they've used different skills to achieve things and solve problems. If they can paint that picture for me of an experience they've had in their past, then I'm able to see in the future how they could fit in my organization.
Outstanding. And Lori, if they begin to answer their questions with, oh, well, I always do this, or this is what I would do. Okay,
yeah.
One's hypothetical and one is speaking in generalities. Well, how's that going to work out?
That's really not working out for me. but I will ask the question again. And the term is behavior-based interviewing is kind of the buzzword or the term, and it really is about understanding others' behaviors. So when I ask for a candidate to give me an example, and the answer is, well, I typically or I usually or then I'll say, that's great to hear. Can you give me an example of when you did that and what the circumstances are? And if we still can't get there, maybe after a couple of times, then we'll change the topic. But I'll still go back to wanting to see, by example, stories that the candidate can share with me, their stories of where they've been successful, where they've had challenges. And if we can't get there, then honestly, that's not someone that I'm going to feel confident will be successful in a role on my team.
Right. And for example, if you ask a prospective manager, tell me about an experience where you've dealt with a difficult employee and how you handled it and how you resolved it. And if they say, oh, well, I always make sure that I tell them that they should do this, or, you know, without that specific example, and they keep speaking in generalities, could that potentially be a showstopper or demonstrate to you that they don't have that specific experience?
That's going to be the question in my mind. Do they really have the experience that I need to be successful? Not only for my team, but for them. Will they be in a role that they truly can achieve and be strong at? And if they can't demonstrate that they've had examples in the past that correlate to what the job is I'm hiring for, then it does add a lot of question in my hiring decisions.
At EverBank, you interview someone. Do you expect the candidates to know anything about EverBank walking through the door?
I do. I really do, because to me, if someone is focused on a job and they want the job, I want to understand why. So do they want the job because this is the perfect role that they've always been looking for, regardless of the company? That's good to know. It's authentic. But if they are running from something that they're at now versus running towards the position and the company that I'm part of, that's important to know. If someone's running towards something, they're going to want to be prepared. Being prepared is able to know how to correlate the company's vision and mission. And that's pretty available. If you go and Google a company, whether it's mine or somebody else's, you can find out a lot by not only looking at the company website, you can look at reviews, and being able to articulate the candidate's skills and their abilities and parlay that into the company itself shows not only have they done their homework, but they care. If they care, then that says they're going to care about my customers. They're going to care about their teammates. And that is really important.
For when you review resumes, should the resumes be customized or tailored for the position, or should people just write one resume and send it out to all prospective employers?
In today's environment, it's so vital to have specific, unique resumes that paint the picture the candidate wants to paint. If they want to paint a picture that one size fits all, then of course they can do that. But I will tell you, most major companies have a screening process because of the volume of candidates coming through the door. So a machine is actually going to take the words on the paper that has the job description, and they will run it against the words that are on the candidate's resume. If those words don't match up or have themes that match up, that candidate may never get a chance for me to see them. And if I don't get a chance to see them, then I won't know what a great job they could do for me. And so it's important to write your resume where you're keyed into not only the performance objectives, but what are the behaviors? What are the competencies that this job is looking for? And be able to paint that picture all along the candidate's process, albeit their cover letter, the resume, when they're sitting across from someone or doing a phone interview. And most importantly, when they write their follow-up thank you, that's perhaps shows my decades in business. But it's something I think is vitally important, is to say thanks.
I'm glad you just said that about the follow-up letter, because it just goes right into my next question that I have for you. Does a shoe shine and a handshake still mean something for a prospective employer, meaning that first impression, looking sharp, arriving on time, which seems to be a little bit difficult for people now? Does that all still matter?
It does matter. It goes back to what I was talking about a minute ago about caring. So if you're doing the research and you're demonstrating you care, you also show that you care by taking the time, looking the part, being present and engaged, and making that first impression, and that is eye contact, what you're wearing, how you're presenting yourself. It shows that, again, you care about the impression you're making, you care about the job that you want, and you'll care about then my customers and teammates going forward. So to me, it's vital.
You know, and I want all the listeners here to keep in mind that this isn't someone whose career it is to give tips to you. This is the person you sit across from when you interview. She's doing this to help you. She's taking time out of a very busy schedule to tell you what she keys in on. And I'm going to tell you, she's not unlike many employers out there. You know, there's a big, there's a lot of folks out there that have a lot of work experience. They have 15 years maybe at a company, and to them, they think it's old hat, and they might not have updated their resume. And diving in and interviewing again, it's a foreign concept, you know? What do you say to that person who hasn't interviewed in so long? It's all new to them. They come and they sit across from you. They're probably going to be nervous a little bit, just as much as the newbie. What do you say to this person who's in a career transition?
Well, for the person who's in a career transition, what I would say first is I hope you've always been a networker. Even if you've not been in a job search perspective before, you don't want to build a network when you need a network. you truly should be engaging with people, helping them understand who you are, what you do, and being able to help them along the way. So when you are ready to start a career search or a reset, that you've got a network to go to. If you don't have a network and you're finding yourself in a situation where you haven't had to interview for a job or go look for a job before, I would suggest that you really spend some time with whether it's a neighbor or a formal coach or someone where you can just practice. Being a little nervous, again, it kind of shows you care, but you don't want the nerves to be so stifling to your information, right? You don't want to put yourself in a situation where you can't communicate the great things you can do because you can't get the words out. And one of the best ways, I think, to be able to get the words out and have the nerves be at bay is someone should be thinking about 4 or 5 scenarios or stories that are in their pocket. They know the detail and they can apply that story or scenario to just about any of the behavior-based questions. So if someone says, tell me about a time where you had a particularly difficult situation with a peer, that same story might also be one that you could articulate how you had a very successful outcome in a challenging situation, whether it's specific to the peer relationship or problem solving. But if you have your stories, you know your details, and then you can know where they are applied, you suddenly don't have to worry about what you're going to say. Now you're thinking about when you're going to say it and show that you can be a valued player in this new organization.
Great advice. Lori, I had a hiring manager tell me one time, if someone shows up to the interview with sunglasses on their head or they're chewing gum, that's a showstopper right there. They're out. I discontinue the interview and show them the door. Now, I think that's really harsh. Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any showstoppers for you, or are there any pet peeves or some things that you might want to just tell people that they wouldn't normally consider that might, common sense for whatever reason, doesn't click on with some people? What would you say?
So I would like to give everyone an opportunity to show their best. And so I don't know if I would say that's a showstopper, but I'll tell you a funny story. I interviewed someone that was great credentials on paper. And when they came to me, we were having the conversation and they fell asleep while we were having the conversation face to face in the interview. And so sorry, that was my showstopper. you know, it just, and maybe there was reason for it. I'm sure there was. But that was just left. There was no explanation. And if someone recognized and said, hey, look, you know, I think I need to apologize because I probably wasn't as attentive as I hoped to be. Last night I had something go on. I'd feel like, wow, they were authentic. They recognized that was probably not their best forward foot, but was able to recover by explaining it. This situation, I just like fell asleep. It was hilarious, but it was kind of bizarre too. Yeah. So, you know, there's always those human interactions that will give you a laugh. They'll surprise you in all kinds of ways. But I don't know if there's other showstoppers that would prevent me from at least exploring the person who was interested in the job I had, besides falling asleep.
I always say, you know, some people say work hard, play hard. Well, if you go out and hoot with the owls at night, you better be ready to soar with the eagles in the morning is what I say. You need to answer the buzzer, check your bags at the door,
right,
and be ready for that bell. Lori, I know at Everbank, you know, you may have some open positions. It's a large company. And what I'd like to know is, do you have anything very specific you can tell our listeners that you're hiring for? Maybe not you personally, but at your organization. Is there anything that maybe one of our listeners will say, holy cow, I have that exact skill set? What is that?
Well, there are numerous positions that are posted every day. If you go to the career section of our website, which is everbank.com, soon to be TIAA Bank, mm-hmm. you'll see those positions. But selfishly, I'm going to take this opportunity to let you know that there is a position. It's not in my organization, but it supports my organization. And it requires some pretty specific skills that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So if any of the listeners happen to have experience with workforce management and capacity planning, there is a workforce management analyst position that is open right now. And if those skills are something that fits your resume and you'd like to apply, I can share even the requisition number. So again, you go to the career site, and if you look for workforce management analyst, and the ID number for that job is actually 1-800-6342. So that might be something if your listeners have those specific skills. We'd love to understand if there's a fit.
Outstanding. If there's an analyst out there with those specific skill sets, that's a destination employer. That's a hot job that's open right now. And Lori just instructed you exactly how to get there and how to apply for that job. Lori, it's been my pleasure having you here today. Any parting thoughts?
Parting thoughts would be, again, with the workforce that is being deployed today in all kinds of environments, I would encourage those to think about all varieties of roles. So whether it's technical skills or human relation type skills, there's virtual leadership capabilities as well. And to not think about one position necessarily as being a destiny, I would consider that your career is more like a jungle gym or a rock climbing wall. You don't go straight up like a ladder. And so sometimes if you think about your rock climbing wall, you may have to move to the side to be able to reach up to the next level. You may have to move down a little bit so you can have sure footing. And I think that in today's environment, with so much digital landscape and so many different opportunities to work nationally, locally, globally, virtually, whatever illy you want to put in there, it's I just think to look broadly and think about those transferable skills. It's not necessarily just being a specialist, but how can you become a generalist in things that are problem solving, collaboration, teamwork, strategy? Those type of things would be transferable in just about any industry. So I'd encourage folks out there to think about the rock wall, the jungle gym, and maybe put the ladder aside.
Boy, those are true words. Lori Day, thank you very much for joining us today, and we will be right back. Welcome back. For all those hard workers out there that are considering a job change in the professional space, I invite you to call the good folks at my office at SNI Companies right here in Jacksonville. SNI Companies is a proud member of GEE Group, a publicly traded company on the New York Stock Exchange. Our ticker symbol is JOB. Pretty easy job. SNI Companies is comprised of several specialized staffing divisions. We have staffing now that places administrative and clerical professionals on a temporary and temp to perm basis. Accounting now that places accounting and finance professionals on a temporary and temp to perm basis as well. SNI Technology that places technology talent of all types on a contract to hire, and direct hire basis. SNI Banking places banking professionals in legal now that places all legal talent. The divisions are mainly staffed by people with similar backgrounds, meaning people with similar backgrounds as the candidates they place. And what I mean by that is we have techies that place techies, accountants that place accountants, and legal folks that place legal folks. So they speak your language. And some may ask, why do you have all these specialized divisions, Pete? Well, the reason why is if you do the same thing over and over every day, you become an expert at it. We swim in very narrow channels, and we're experts at what we do. We're not generalist staffing providers, meaning, you know, we're not placing a nurse one day and then light industrial the next and then dabbling in technology. We're only in technology, and we're experts at it, or we're only in accounting, and we're experts at that. So you call our specialists at 904-713-2550. Make sure you say Pete the Job Guy sent you. I'd also like you to send your resume to me by email. My email address is pete@petethejobguy.com. In the subject line of your email, please write what type of job you're looking for. You can simply write accounting, technology, clerical, etc. And I'll make sure it gets into the correct hands. And remember, I'm going to be giving people live job opportunities on the air with me, Pete the Job Guy, and these are from destination employers right here in Jacksonville. If you send your resume to me, one lucky listener every week is going to get a job offer live on the air with me. So make sure you get them to Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. Our next guest is Brandy Kirby. Brandy is Regional Vice President with S&I Companies, running all business operations for branch offices in Jacksonville, Orlando, and the Tampa St. Pete area. She knows firsthand the ordeals and challenges facing working parents, and more specifically, working moms. Brandy, I know the landscape has changed drastically over the years. Back in the day, dad went to work, mom stayed home to run the household, take care of the kids. How has that changed today?
So women make up about 46% of today's workforce.
Yeah, about half.
And out of that population, 70% of those women are actually working moms with children under 18 at home.
Mm-hmm. You're a working mom yourself. What's your experience as a working mom?
Being a working mom is like having two full-time jobs with no days off, and failure is not an option. So it's a challenge.
Right. You get pulled in a lot of directions. You know, it's tough. And not to get too personal, but is your household also a dual income household where dad works as well?
Yes. So my husband and I both work.
Oh, boy. What advice would you give working moms, or even let's even back it up, moms that are expecting, that are working? Let's talk about that. What kind of advice do you give those folks?
Yeah, well, I was a perfect parent until I had children and realized how difficult it was. So I think the first advice that I would offer is to give up on perfection. It's and the guilt of not being able to achieve it, because it's really an unrealistic expectation.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, so what are some of the challenges? Let's just get right into it. What are some of the challenges?
It's time. Management is a huge challenge for working moms. We're pulled, as you mentioned, in many different directions. And so we have to find ways to be able to achieve more with less time, because we're not home with our children all day. And we also have the responsibilities of work to manage. And so I think that for me, and I think another thing I would add is it's going to be very different for each person. You have to figure out what works for your individual family. And then you also have to consider what type of flexibility that you might need from an employer if you're going to be a working mom, and make sure that you have a good balance there. So for me, like some of the things that I've done, Amazon delivers everything to my house, from dry goods, groceries. I use a delivery service. And so when I'm not shopping at the store, spending that time, I can be home with my children, or I can stay to get an extra little bit of work time in. And so I think it's finding the things that you can outsource, that you can cut out, and letting go of some of the expectation. I don't care where the food comes from. I just care that it's in my house when my children need it.
Okay. So we plan meals, you know, whether they can deliver or, like you said, where it comes from doesn't matter. Not everybody might be able to afford a delivery service. Maybe they have helpers and other folks, but that part. What happens when you're so planned out and then a crisis happens? You know, a child is sick or something happens. Is it your burden? Do you share the burden? Do you plan ahead for crisis management?
Well, the first move in that situation would be to call my mom. And so I think, building us a community that's helping with raising your family. So that might be neighbors, friends, the other parent in the scenario. But I would say you can't be a successful professional if you don't feel like a successful mom. And so sometimes the answer is the report has to wait and you have to come to the rescue.
As a prospective employer, you're one. I mean, you employ a lot of people. You're a manager. What do employers need to know about employing working moms?
flexibility is the number one driver to attract and retain that population. If a working mom is faced with a decision between doing what's in the best interest of their family and achieving their goals at work, the family's going to win 100% of the time eventually. And so I think coming up with collaborative and creative ways of accommodating that season of life where the working mom, like, flexible hours, maybe if this person has to drop off kids in the morning, maybe they can work 9 to 6, or if they're the pickup person, maybe they can work 7 to 4. Remote options often work in business where the person might be able to remote in and do their work from home. So I just think really finding out what type of flexibility the working mom's looking for is key. But I think as a working mom, I can't assume that my boss knows what I need. It's my responsibility to tell them what I need to be successful as a mom and as a professional, and for us to come up with some solutions that make sense for the business and for my family.
Outstanding. You know, I can say from personal experience in a job that I had, I worked hard. I gave it my all, buzzer to buzzer. But then there was a certain amount of guilt when my child was old enough to play t-ball, and I wanted to be the t-ball coach, which meant I had to leave around 5:15, and I got in the morning at 6:45 a.m. And at 5:15, when I left, there was this guilt that I felt because I'm coaching my son's baseball team. I felt the guilt then, but I'll tell you what, I'd feel more guilty now if I didn't leave at 5:15 to go coach my son's team. Do you have kids that play sports by any chance?
I do. My son Caleb, he's 10, and he is a soccer player, and his practice is at 5 o'clock 2 days a week, and that would be during my normal business day. And so I definitely feel guilt. So I pick and choose the things that are most important to my son, and I ask him, would you like me to take you to practice, or would you like me to be at the game? And so we kind of talk about what's going on in the day, and as a family, we work through who's doing what. And so I think it's just something that you can't avoid. You want to be there for everything, but there are ways to achieve what you're looking to achieve with the time that you have. You just have to be a good communicator at home and at work.
Got it. And in a scenario where we say, let's give the workforce moms, and let's be fair, there's workforce dads, too, that also
Absolutely.
Need that flexibility. Mm-hmm. Is it important if you let somebody leave a little bit early, maybe at 4 or 4:15, to take care of something, and you show them flexibility, do you also kind of say, well, you have to come in early 2 other days to make sure that you meet the essential functions of your job, or do you also make the flexibility available to others as well? It's a tough scenario, and sometimes it's a catch-22.
Yeah. Well, I think every employee is an individual, and so you have to look at it that way. We're all people, and we all have things going on in our lives, whether you know about it or not. So I think that that's the best way to assess the needs of each individual. As far as a working mom and offering flexibility, if my employer is aligning with my family, I'm really aligned with them. So yeah. That loyalty is there, and you find a way to get the job done. And that's really, at the end of the day, what the employer is looking for. They want the work done, and they want it done at the quality level that it needs to be and within the time frame that it needs to be. And if the employee can achieve those two things, it really didn't matter that they left at 4:15.
Great, great. That is good. What else would you tell working moms out there?
I would say that being a good communicator about what your needs are to your employer is important. And I think that also making sure that your children are heavily involved in the discussions of what's going on has just really been beneficial. So I would really suggest that it's a bigger discussion than just with the mom. It's the mom and the employer. It's the mom and the kids. It's the mom and the dad in the scenario. It's the grandmother. So just really, you know, enriching your children's lives with as many people that are able to be there and support them is important. And I think that that's something that's been really helpful, is having that bigger network, neighbors. So just really leveraging all the resources that are available to you. And if you don't cook the dinner and you get the takeout, the kids will survive. It's okay. So letting go of this expectation of, you know, being perfect.
If I asked your kids, what does mommy do? What kind of response would I
get? It's interesting that you asked that question, because my son's kindergarten teacher asked him that question, and he told his teacher that I was a taxi driver. And the reason that
he, well, you are, I mean.
And the reason he said that, I was like, I'm taxiing around. I'm taking, you know, kids here, there, going all these different places. So I tell my son that I help get people jobs. And so it's not as cool as, like, what his dad does. You know, his dad's an engineer, so that's a little bit more interesting for him because of his interest. But he would tell you that I help people get jobs.
Okay. Well, that's outstanding.
And you do. On a daily basis.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your professional. We talked about your work as a mom. Tell us a little bit about your job.
So as you mentioned, I work for S&I Companies, and I oversee the Jacksonville, Orlando, Tampa, St. Pete area. And I work with a team of professionals that specialize in accounting, finance, IT, operational staffing, contract and direct hire placements. And we find talent in the local markets that we serve, and we create professional marriages for our clients.
Outstanding. If someone wants to reach S&I Companies here in Jacksonville, how can they do that?
So you can contact our local office at 904-713-2550.
Okay. And what if they would like to apply for a job or see any of the open positions that you have in this area?
So you can go to snicompanies.com and access any of our specialized brands, and they'll have a listing of all of the current openings that are available, and you can apply directly. And if you have additional questions, you can certainly reach out to the local office and ask to speak with one of our recruiters.
Outstanding. Brandy, I want to thank you. I think you've touched on a lot of things. It's going to the information that you provide is going to help a lot of working moms, working dads too, and also employers to understand some of the challenges that we all face. So thank you very much for being here, Brandy.
My pleasure.
All right, and a huge congratulations to David Soulsby from our Jacksonville S&I technology team at S&I Companies for earning our monthly Pete Langlois Rockstar Sales Award. Woo-hoo, David! David personally helps 7 technology candidates find their direct hire roles in the Jacksonville market in April, totaling $581,000 in salaries. If you're looking to make a technology hire, or you're a mid to high level technology professional looking to make a career move, I highly recommend partnering with David Soulsby. David's legit. Nice job, Soulsby. Let me ask you, there's a lot of recruiters out there. There's not a whole lot of recruiters making 7 technology placements in a month. What's your secret sauce?
Well, first off, thank you for the award, your namesake award. I feel honored to receive that, of course, and of course feel fortunate to work for a company that allows me to have that kind of success. As for a secret sauce, I mean, I don't know that there's anything secret about what I do. It's maybe just something as simple as trying to do, treat other people how you'd want to be treated, following up with people, just the standard, do what you say kind of stuff, and treat people, like I said, the way you'd want to be treated.
Not to interrupt, but I got into this profession because I like to help people. I always like to help people. And you think about recruiting in general, you help people a lot. Sometimes when they're at a vulnerable spot in their careers, they need a job. Other folks are just looking for that next step. Mm-hmm. Maybe they want to get closer to home, or they want better benefits or a career track. You go through the basic stuff about treating people the right way, but I know you get into their heads a little bit to find out what motivates them, don't you?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Anyone that we're trying to help out, we're certainly going to sit down and thoroughly chat with them about, where they want to go in their career. Like things like you're saying, is something as simple as closer to home or better benefits, up to the next step in their career path or whatever it may be. So, yeah, we absolutely would sit down and thoroughly discuss their hopes and aspirations before we tried to place them anywhere.
$581,000 in salary is a lot for 7 people. I mean, obviously you're doing the right thing here. You're doing a great job. What's hot in technology right now?
Yeah, here in the Jacksonville market, certainly it's still .NET developers. See tons of those. We see I recruit a lot in the SQL BI database space. We're seeing more data science roles. Still plenty of infrastructure positions. I'm getting some that are even on the like digital marketing side of things. So really just, you know, a healthy mix of that stuff. But, you know, still the developers are going to be the bread and butter for us.
Can you talk techie?
Yeah, a little bit.
I've heard you. Yeah. You know your stuff. So let me ask you this. Let's pretend I'm half my age, or maybe a lot less than that. I'm a teenager in my 20s, considering a career in technology.
Sure.
What do you tell me?
Well, first off, I would say, you know, if you're looking entry-level type person is what you're saying, like just to get started?
Maybe career pathing.
Okay.
You can, you know, you want to pick up some skills. I'm career pathing. I'm thinking about a career in technology. Mm-hmm. What's some advice you give someone that's early in their career?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, obviously, first off, you know, figure out which track you want to go down, whether you're going to be, you know, on the infrastructure side of things, application dev side of things, project management, whatever it may be, business analysis, you know, any number of things. You know, get in with a solid company and, you know, career longevity, longevity in one position still, to me, still means a lot. And, you know, in our day and age, we certainly have more jumping around than we probably did in the past. But I think a lot of employers still, you know, respect the ones who's worked their way up through one particular company on that end. But yeah, I mean, you know, find good mentors to learn from. I mean, so many things you can do on your own time outside of work to improve your skills and that sort of stuff.
Are certifications important?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, if I'm looking, you know, the thing about how many seconds does someone scan a resume, typically, you know, not just us on our end. I mean, we'd spend a little more time, but say it's an HR recruiter looking at it. They may spend 7 or 8 seconds looking at a resume. So if they see, you know, a certification on there, that may grab their attention and get you another look kind of thing. So, yeah, I think certifications are certainly important outside of just the marketability. You're going to be crafting, you know, honing your craft.
So. Do you know what? One thing that I tell folks that are looking to go down a career path in technology, you know, sometimes the higher up you go, the further away from the actual technology you are. You get into managing people and budgets, et cetera. And sometimes your tech skills can get soft. You know, I also tell folks to understand the business behind the business. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're so siloed into just your technology, but you don't know how it enhances the business, you might become one-dimensional.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
is
absolutely.
That a fair statement?
Oh, absolutely, for sure. And just in general, being able to interact well with all aspects of the business and not just the tech team. I mean, that goes a long way. I can't tell you how many times we've had clients that, you know, he knew his tech stuff, but he couldn't talk to anyone else kind of thing. You know,
we used to call those mushroom coders, right? You go down, you keep them in the dark, keep them by themselves, and they work well, but don't put them. That person talks better to machines than
he does
people, right?
And while there are still places for those types of candidates, obviously, you know, the more well-rounded skills are going to get you further. So.
Good. All right, David, listen, you're doing a fantastic job at SNI Technology. If anybody wants to reach out to you and to work directly with you to get placed, how can they reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. They can certainly call the office, which is 904-713-2550. They can find me on LinkedIn. Obviously, all us recruiters are on LinkedIn. My last name is spelled Solesbee. It's like the soles of your feet and a bee that buzzes. So David Soulsby. Look me up on there. They can email me. All my contact information is on LinkedIn, though. So that would probably be one of the quickest ways they could get in touch with me.
Outstanding. Congratulations again. And David, thank you for coming by today.
Thanks so much, Pete.
All right, that's about all the time we have for today. I want to thank my special guests, Lori Day, Brandy Kirby, and even David Soulsby. Guys, if you're looking for a job, I want to remind you to send your resumes to me by emailing pete@petethejobguy.com. Be sure to add in the subject line the type of job you're looking for, whether it's accounting, technology, banking, whatever it is, put it right there in the subject line. I'll make sure it gets routed to the proper person, and that person may even be me. If you're an employer in town and you want me to help you find talent, you can reach out to me at PeteTheJobGuy.com or call me at my office at SNI Companies, 904-713-2550. 550. Anytime you call the office, you need talent, you need career advice, you always tell them Pete the Job Guy sent you, and you'll get that extra special white glove treatment. I invite everybody to visit our PeteTheJobGuy.com website. We'll have podcasts and rebroadcasts of this this show today. If you want to listen to it again, I'd invite you to do that. That's all the time we have. Thank you, all you hard workers out there, and we'll see you next week.